Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Yes, we're here at a normal time, Wednesday, and hopefully we're going to be hearing from some of you in just a moment. I'm a bit distracted because I'm posting the show to Facebook, to our pages. And the way to get a hold of us, 914-338-0164. Please press 1 if you would like to speak to us. And as always, we invite you to join us on our pages, Facebook and on Twitter. Those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. And until we hear from some of you today, we're going to be having a lovely chat about what happens before... Or what happens before? What happens when the birth date code has not been completed and the person dies? So, you know, before the birth date code's been completed. So there are like several ways to look at that, actually, because, I mean, one, if someone dies before they've reached their karmic turnover, it's going to be a different situation than if someone lives a full life and in linear fashion maybe gets to almost the end of their code, but doesn't fulfill the numbers. Those are different situations, but all the same, unfulfilled.
A lot of it will be the, you know, the common, what's left over.
And
when you divide a number and there's a number left over in that fraction.
Right. And of course, it's also the fulfillment of the numbers, even if, I mean, you can look at someone who lives throughout their code and doesn't fulfill the numbers on every single level. I mean, that's not really exactly what we're talking about today, but that's another way to not fulfill
the
code.
Well, that all gets factored in. I mean, sometimes you question why do some people come back for only 10 years or 8 years or 3 years or 20 years and they die not really by their own, like a suicide or something, but they die by natural causes or an accident. This is the remaining fraction of what
remaining,
what was left from the other lifetime that one had to come back to accomplish. So when you look at your birth date codes, you're actually looking at trying to fulfill the energy of all the numbers involved in that code.
That's correct. And we actually have a caller suddenly, which we are going to take. Hold on just a sec. Area code 929 is on the air.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi. It's hard to hear you. I'm turning my volume up, but try to talk right into your receiver.
Can you hear me now?
It's a little muffled, but better. What's your name?
Havana.
Yeah, you got to talk a little bit clearer into the phone so we can hear your voice better.
How do you spell your name?
Tivana, T-E-V-O-N-A.
And just before you get started talking, I'm picking up children. I don't know how I'm.
I have one. My 2-year-old with me right now on his tablet.
Yeah, we can hear it later. Make it go.
Anyway. You hear his tablet. Then I have 2 girls, 6, 8 months, and 5.
Years.
Girls, 8 months and 5 years old.
5 years old, right? TEVONA. And where are you calling from?
Waynesboro, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Yeah, you're. I don't know if are you on a headset, Tavana? Because it's very awkward. It's just not a good connection.
I'm not. I don't know what's going on.
She dropped.
Well, maybe she'll call back.
Maybe she'll call back. Go ahead.
So, the question is, why do some people come back? They're only back for a few years or maybe 10, 20, 25, 30 years. A lot of this is due to the fact that when we don't even out our lives, like in the vision, when we don't even out our lives and we have numbers left over that still need to be completed, we'll come back with those things to actually complete.
Right. And so, I mean, if someone, for instance, comes back for a certain number of years, like an 8-year period, and then dies, it also has to be determined, okay, are they coming back to complete 8 years of their code? And then they have to return again to fulfill other elements before they're able to transcend. Well, right. It's
It all depends. We've got the caller came back, so we'll get back to our discussion in a minute.
Hi.
Is this better?
That's a little better. It's still muffled, but that's okay. Okay. So
I'm just tuning in, so I don't know if you're doing readings or you could say.
Yeah, we do. So we do readings. We haven't spoken with you before. You're from Pennsylvania. We know that. And what is your birth date? I'm giving you 9, but who knows?
I think I have spoken to you. My birth date is 10-8-91. Yeah, I was living in New York in
it's so muffled. 10-20-2-30-43-2-8-1991. Is that correct?
No.
So,
10.
What?
10.
10-8?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, okay. All right. Sorry about that. So there is a 9 and another 9. You have 2 9s. That's why 8-9-19. She's 29-11 too. Okay. All right, Tavana. And you are 20. Gosh, you're young. Am I right? No, you're 30 years old. She's 30. You're 30 years old.
I'll be 30 in October.
I'm going to be 30. So right now you're going through a major change in your life because you are 29. You're 29 years old. So you just had a baby. That would be one thing that would account for the change going on. Your baby's 8 months old. And what else? Any other changes that you can mention that's going on? Maybe something in a relationship. I mean, your master number indicates you have some relationship troubles. Your code indicates you have relationship troubles.
I was in from New York, Brooklyn, and I was in abusive. Mentally, physically, emotionally, a very abusive relationship. And I chose to, leave, and I left New York, and I came up here to Pennsylvania, and it's better.
Okay. So Neil could not hear what you said.
No.
Let me repeat it. So as we were saying, she's got problems in relationships, and she's confirmed that she was in an emotionally... did you say physically abusive relationship too?
Yeah.
Physically abusive relationship. And she moved from New York to Pennsylvania and things have improved somewhat because she's out of the relationship. So she's confirmed that she's got some relationship problems. And so what's the reason for your call today, Tavana?
I'm staying with my sister, and I just wanted, like, to see if, like, I'm trying to look for a place, and it's really difficult. I'm unemployed. I was recently working at a daycare. It was like a daycare. And, my kids were in there, and I was working there.
Are you on speakerphone by any chance?
No, I'm regular. I'm just on a regular phone.
A regular phone. It's just a really poor connection. So I'm hearing something about being unemployed. You're working at a daycare center. Did you say something about a sister? I don't know if we're hearing correctly or not.
Yeah, I'm staying with my sister.
You're staying with your sister?
Yeah.
Okay.
You sound much better now.
Yeah, just stay where you're at.
Oh, really? I crossed the street, but see, I don't want her here, and she's not really into the whole.
Oh. So you're going to be part of the problem, too.
I'm not comfortable. I'm looking for a home. I don't feel like I should be too comfortable, living with someone with their kids, neither, but I have no luck, and it's like the daycare didn't pay much. I'm receiving unemployment, and it's like once you mention that, like these landlords are like uninterested. So I called today to just like to see if you can see anything with me moving out of my sister's room, or like should I think about moving back to New York?
Well, I mean, moving back to New York. I mean, I think it's. Depends on whether you're going to, I mean, do you have somewhere to live in New York, or would you be, are you moving to New York?
Into the shelter system.
To the relationship?
Shelter system.
I can't understand her.
I can.
The shelter.
We're having such a hard
time. I will go back to the shelter.
Oh, to the shelter. To a shelter.
Yeah, but prior to here, I was in the shelter.
In New York. As opposed to staying where you're at, you're living with your sister, and you're trying to get, you're not employed, so it's going to be tough to get a place to live either way.
Yeah, right.
Well,
it's I have money in my savings. I'm on unemployment, but it's like once you mention unemployment, it's like the landlord is like uninterested.
Do you have over 3,000, over or under 3,000 in your savings?
Over $3,000.
So would it be between like 3 and 8?
About 6,500.
Okay, $6,500, which is not going to take you that far. I mean, it might get you a place to live, but also it's going to be tough to get a place to live if you don't have, like, an employer to, But I don't know if going back to a shelter is a good idea. You have a place that's safe with your sister. I mean, why go back to a shelter when you have a more stable environment with a family member? Is it not working out with your sister, aside from the fact that she doesn't, like, believe in psychics?
I don't feel like it's genuine. I'm staying here. I kind of feel like it's like, I let you stay because you're my sister, but, like when are you going to go? I don't feel welcome.
You don't.
What are her skills? What are your skills, Tavella?
I have experience in office assistance, daycare, food service,
daycare.
Food service, daycare. I used to be a bus matron. Not much.
What, you used to do what?
Food service. Bus matron. Like, get the kids off and on buses.
Oh, okay. So, like, in the school district, you'd work
Yeah.
Getting kids
in New York. Yeah. And then, like, I'm in, like, a little small town, so it's not the same.
Yeah.
Like, the job opportunities.
Your best goal is, no matter where you position yourself, whether it's with your sister or whether it's back in the shelter, the way to get out of your trouble is to get yourself back into the workforce and to get some daycare for your children.
Well, two of them. My son will be next week. He's a teacher in the class. He didn't have COVID, so they set that. Only that specific class down. But the kids are back in daycare.
Well, she had two. So you have two daughters, you said, and one son. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. We didn't know about the son.
My son is only not in daycare because of COVID. His teacher had COVID, so his class is out this week. He'll be back in daycare.
Well, if you can find work, wherever you can find work is where you're supposed to be residing. Mm. So if you can find work in your current location with your sister, I would start the first step there. If you need to go to a shelter in New York and move, but you can find work there, I would go there. It all depends on where you can find work if you're currently applying and looking. But that's how you're going to come. Yeah, that's how you'll get out of your trouble, Trevina. I mean, your energy zone is pretty strong. You have you see, 108 adds up to a 9, and you have a 9 in your year, and you're about to do a crossover. So that means that you're a very tough lady. You know how to survive. That doesn't mean that you're not in trouble, but you're a survivor. So probably what's going to happen is you will... I think we're going to be working. I don't know which location, but wherever it is, there's an aquarium. You know what an aquarium is, where they have the fishes and everything? Something like that is nearby. I don't know why I'm saying that, but there's an aquarium nearby, wherever you're destined to go. So if there's a museum around your area now, maybe there isn't because it sounds like it's kind of rural district, or whether you go to the shelter, if there's a city nearby that has an aquarium, that's where you're supposed to go.
That's kind of weird. I'm from Cornwall, and they have an aquarium. I flew back down from where I grew up.
So wait a second. You're from there's an aquarium somewhere, but we can't really hear everything you're saying. So where you're from, there's an aquarium?
Brooklyn. I grew up in Coney Island. And it's
So maybe
you can you move back there?
She has.
My mom still lives there, but she wouldn't take me in with the kids.
Oh, well, you know, maybe slowly you'll work your way back there. Get work first. Try to apply for work. You might end up back there.
What about, like, even work, you know, even stay there for a few more months and work and continue to save? Would it still make sense to?
I think if you can continue to save and get work while you're where you're at, because it's stable, and then think about moving elsewhere, that's your best bet. Is your sister requiring that you pay any bills or?
Yeah, pool, toiletries, and I guess her for a month, which is that's causing my savings to increase decrease.
Okay, well, you know, might ultimately end up where the aquarium is in time. But in the meantime, you know, I think that's where you're going to end up ultimately. But then in the meantime, you know, if you can get work, things are going to turn out okay, Tavana. That's what we see because you're tough and you're a survivor and your numbers are pretty good. So you just have to go through this transition. But I think in about 4 months, you're going to be feeling a lot better.
Ooh, 4 months? That's long.
Well, you know, you got to work your way there.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, it's not going to happen overnight.
This time last year, I was like, put it down. But it's definitely better.
Well, it's going to get better. So who cares? I mean, you know, I'm talking about it gets better every day. And then by the time 4 months comes around, you're going to be feeling a lot better. But start off on trying to get work. So that would be between April, May, June, July. Between now and July, things are going to start to improve.
Okay. And is this the work not finding a place?
What?
What'd you say?
That's just the work and not like you don't see like a place, like an apartment or nothing up there.
Possibly, if you can find work, wherever you can find work, you're going to be stable right now.
But the problem is that when she, like for example, if she finds work where she's at and is able to save money, then she's going to have to find another job in order to move,
which is
possible.
Later.
I mean, that's not impossible, but it'll be a series of events that need to take place before you're able to, like, you know, permanently establish your roots.
You'll probably find work where you're at. You're probably, if you start looking, you're going to find a job.
She says she has been looking, but
well, it's
continue.
Going to show up. Yeah, a job will come up, Devana. And then from there, you'll work there for a while. And when you're ready, you'll make a move. I think you'll make another move. But I do think a job's coming up. So that job could come up in April. And let's say from April to July, you know, you start working, saving money, and then you can make another decision. You can stay where you're at or you can move. But right now, let's center on you getting work where you're living and start looking around the areas. I think something's going to be offered to you. I think you'll be working.
Is it going to be? I didn't hear you.
He said by April, probably.
I think
he'll
be
working
in April.
But what were you going to ask?
Where I am now, I've lived up here before my kids. And I spoke to a job I used to work at. And, you know, he told me that he would take me back when, you know, I was situated and the kids were in school. Could it be that job? Like, should I get back in contact with him? Like, I worked there before.
This is where we This is where you previously lived or here in your current location?
My current location, I lived here 2012 to 2016.
Oh.
I moved when I first had my five-year-old. I moved back to New York thinking I would get more help and I had two more kids. And, you know, I was in the shelter system when COVID broke and I was pregnant and I just was really scared. They kept moving me. And, you know, I asked my sister, could we stay until, you know, we knew what this whole COVID situation was and she allowed us to. But, you know, it's almost a year. It's almost 9 months because my daughter, I came up here 2 weeks before my daughter was born, three weeks before she was born. So we've been here about 9 months now. She'll be 9 months.
Well,
so
yeah.
What kind of work
was
it
like? Food service.
Food service?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where you might be working. So
and
it's
in that.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Okay, great. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm like everywhere.
No, it's just you're trying to organize your life. It's fine.
Literally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a good outlook, Tivana. We think you're going to be working. You'll be working in April. It might be with the food service place, and you'll slowly get back on your feet. Things will work out.
Okay. I kind of feel like stuck. So I maybe it's not, you know, meant for me to stay here and try to raise the kids here. But if you're saying that, then maybe I should just go for it.
Well, right now,
my,
right now, I think you're where you're supposed to be, at least for a period of time.
Right.
And then you can decide what to do from then, you know, from that point forward.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, keep in touch with us. Let us know what happens. If you get that job, definitely give us a call back.
Definitely.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you so much. Take care.
All right, Shivana can join us on Facebook and on Twitter. And those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile. And we have 312. Hi, Karen.
Hi, just Karen from Chicago.
Hey.
Hello, today's my birthday.
Yeah, it's your birthday. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. My question today is that I am waiting for a background check from this apartment that I possibly am thinking about renting, but there seems to be some type of delay. The real estate agent hasn't sent the link for the background check, and we've been waiting for quite some time. Do you think that they'll finally send it, or will we have to look for another place?
Well, we were talking about this place in the last show, right? Is this
yes.
the same
yes.
place? So
yes.
What have you done? I mean, the real estate agent hasn't sent the background check to the apartment complex or across.
To myself. No, they're
to
right,
you?
They're supposed to send to me, yes.
Okay.
And we've already told the owner. And the owner said, if you don't get it by today, let me know, and I'll get on them.
Well,
that's kind of where we're at.
Have you contacted the real estate agent and asked for it?
Yes. I sent her an email, and they just never responded to me.
Yeah, I would get on the phone. I mean, that would be the first thing that I would do. But it sounds like the apartment complex is trying to assist you. So that's a good prospect as far as
yes.
you moving in there. But I would get on the phone with the real estate agent yourself and say, listen.
Yeah, this is in an incompetent real estate agent. How soon can you get to text you, the email you? What would they do to give you the back out?
They're just supposed to send, the only thing that they're supposed to send me is a link, some type of link that I would go on and just fill out perform the background check, and I pay $50 on a website.
Right, online.
Oh, and where is this
real
estate?
Yes.
Where is the real estate agency located?
They're in the suburbs.
Oh, so hours from you. It takes a while to drive there?
Yeah, I would say probably maybe about an hour or so.
Well, you know, I mean, it's important. You get them on the phone, and you talk
okay.
to somebody, or you drive down there. I mean, this is about.
There's a way to. I mean, she should be able to call, right?
Well, she should be able to call, but I don't know why she hasn't.
I mean,
why there's been this delay in terms of a call?
I mean, it's. I don't know.
Yeah.
She's emailed, but that's not necessarily the best way to communicate.
You need to call. Or if you are able, drive there. I mean, this is about you living somewhere, and it's important. So,
right.
You know, we can put out energy that if you call, someone's going to answer. That would be the easiest way.
Okay.
Driving down, you know, with a real estate agent, you're not. Maybe the real estate agent could be showing a property. I mean, you know, just driving down
right.
there could be too.
Yeah, but you know, I mean. I don't think there's anything like karmically going on. I just think she's being incompetent, this agent.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't think there's anything going on other than that. Sometimes it's just aggravating because you get incompetent people who don't take the time to take care of people. But, you know, that's what I would say to do right now. And
okay.
If we're lucky, you'll get it done today, and it sounds like the apartment complex wants to have you. I don't think they will have any problem with you.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yes, but the man is already, he's already aware that I have my mom with me, and that He also lives in the building, so he's not looking for a bunch of, I guess he had some young kids in there, two guys, and they were partiers, and he had to evict them. They were partying away in there and causing
all
sorts of
noise.
Well, look,
that's what I would do.
Yeah.
I would call him again to reassure him so he doesn't rent it out. I'd call him again and say, look, I'm trying to get a hold of him. And he says, well, if you want me to try, say, okay. I mean, if he wants to participate, that will keep him busy and keep
focused
him,
on
you know, pledged to you. So if he wants to help, let him help.
Wait, your mom's with you? What do you mean your mom's with you? She's not living with you, is she?
Yes.
Or she was,
yes.
She is?
Yes, she's going to be living with me.
So that is that new? Because I don't recall your mother living with you before. Or has she always?
Yeah, she's always lived with me. Yes.
We didn't know that.
Yes. Yes.
Well.
She travels from, she has another home in another state.
Oh.
Right now, because of the COVID, she got stuck here, so she's kind of just staying here. But she does have another home in another state where she travels in between.
Oh, okay.
In Arkansas, yeah.
All right. I see. Okay. What's your mother's birthday, just so we have it?
Oh, sure. It's 8/3/47.
Okay. 32/5. Okay. Just out of curiosity. All right. Well, hopefully that helps. Karen, what are you doing for your birthday? Anything special?
No. Today I'm just going to work in the afternoon from home, and then tomorrow I'm going to go out. A lot of my friends, they couldn't make it out today, so they said, let's go out tomorrow. So I said, okay, that'll work. So it's just kind of a relaxing kind of day until I start work. Yeah.
Oh, good. But you
I
are
have
celebrating.
A cake here. Yeah.
A day late. But that's still
yes.
celebrating. So that's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy it and let
happy
us know.
Birthday.
Yeah. Let us know what happens.
Okay. Will do. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
So we were discussing.
We were.
What happens if you should expire before your energy code is up? And this is exactly why people come back for a short period of time. What about those kids that come back to the planet and tragically die when they're, you know, under the age of 10 by an abusive parent or some accident, a kidnapping?
Well, it's hard to analyze because sometimes, there could be many reasons for that situation. It could mean that there's only that many years to complete, but it could also mean that it's just another lifetime that has to be completed before they are incarnated again.
Well, if there's
so
a violence, if it comes to violence, then it is somewhat safe to assume that the prior life was a violent life. And that some people feel they escape a certain punishment and they kind of relax in life before that punishment can be administered. Well, oftentimes those people can come back and sadly, may not seem fair, but sadly suffer a horrible life and ending up in a sort of very, very terrible situation. But we have to assume, if we're going to at least look at this with a psychic approach, and we say, you know, why would an innocent child perhaps life be extinguished because it was beaten to death or whatever? We ask ourselves this, and we can assume, well, there was an abusive situation anyways, and it was just a tragedy, and these things happen. But in our world of interpretation, we start to gather a credible sense of that there's a past life debt. And that may seem cold and calculated, but what other explanation is better? Just that they were innocent and they ran into trouble. It was just a bad set of circumstances. You know, our explanations don't cover the entirety of reasoning why we have these terrible things happen to individuals. Children are dying every day that we are on the planet under tragic means, whether it's in an abusive household or, you know,
starvation
or at the border or in these countries where there's massacre from the government or the police forces, in gangs, stray bullets. I mean, if we live in a violent planet. We don't live in a peaceful planet, because if we lived in a peaceful planet, the entire planet would be peaceful. So we can't assume that we live in a peaceful planet. We can hope, we could idealize it, but we don't. The facts, we do not, never will. So this becomes a situation that as human beings, we strive our best to create peace and to preserve life and protect it, no matter who is involved. But, you know, I was just reading about in our side of town, transgender people going to a park and getting beaten up by gangs, severely beaten up. Asian Americans being killed and battered because of
COVID.
Because of some reasoning that, you know, it's a COVID thing or a Chinese virus or something. You know, why do these things happen and why are certain individuals signaled out?
But back to our topic, which is, again, what happens when the life has not been fully, or the code has not been fulfilled before the life is over. So like in the case of these children we're talking about that come back, not only have they not fulfilled the code, we're talking about children that are victims of violence, not only have they not fulfilled the code in the past lifetime, but they've created karma in which they come back and become victims of violence themselves. Then they have to come back and, you know, I mean, you can't fulfill much if you're a child that dies of violence. What can you do to fulfill your numbers or your code that you're assigned? So then the child has to return again in order to reduce karma, establish transcendence. I mean, that's
oftentimes it becomes an endless cycle of return. Departure, return. I mean, to level out the energy that we as human beings have with this planet Earth, for whatever reasons, is not easy. It's a hard task. Life itself is hard. And for those that have a leisurely life and the life of Riley, that's fine. But then the question is, what do you accomplish in that life? What do you do? What do you activate in terms of interacting with your fellow human beings and making the world a better place? You know, we try to think of the pleasure principle, and we all are entitled to the pursuit of happiness, but that doesn't excuse us from the pursuit of responsibility and activation. So happiness is fine, but if we all lived in a world of individual happiness, we may not be able to understand the plight of others or how we have to play a responsible role on the planet in order to preserve it.
Well, which is the other example that I was giving earlier in the show where someone, I mean, you look at the obituaries of certain people and it seems that they live very full lives, have families and, you know, traveled, had all of these things that would signify a full life on a physical level. And they may live till they're 80 years old or 85 years old, but it doesn't mean, so their linear code may be, I mean, they may be on the last number in their birth date in linear fashion, but it doesn't mean that they fulfilled the code.
They may have fulfilled a certain level aspect of the code.
Certain level of the
maybe
code.
Maybe a lower energy, a one or two energy they may
We're talking
have
about fulfillment, though, on a complete level. So
You know, but what sometimes when you read these obituaries and they have children and grandchildren and they were great, great, great and all this. And then they were served on the library board and they volunteered and they traveled around the world and
they the gave the organizations. A bit more,
you know, that can be a fulfilling life. There isn't to say that a life like that isn't a fulfilled life. When you get into the higher aspects of faith and belief and devotion, spiritual matters, humanitarian matters, this again has to be a life of fulfillment. So every one of us needs to evaluate what we do in relation to satisfying our ego, our own pleasure principle, and then what we do to extend our lives into the lives of others where we do work to help other people. I mean, I think it's all part of the code. And there is no definite line of definition as to how one helps others. Some people may travel across the globe and go into a poor, underdeveloped country and help others, and others may just do a food bank at 10 blocks away. It all depends. Every act will be known. Every act will be known. The parable of the lady giving only a penny to the church donation was signified as being the greatest act because it was all she had, as opposed to someone who gave 10,000 because they have a 10 million. It all depends. Our lives are numbered. Our hairs on our head are numbered. What we do with our lives are numbered. And there's nothing to say that we are deserved leisurely time and that the pleasure principle is part of existence. But, you know, most of us and most of our callers are in struggling mode. Some just want a general reading. They're happy just to have a general reading and just to see what's going on. And that's harmless. That's fine. But a lot call in struggling mode. Our goal is to help anyone who calls, no matter what their reasoning is. So if there is reward, our reward will be that we're here to help others. And we gave our time and, you know, we don't get anything for this. We in fact pay into it.
Yeah, we were talking about this on the last show about people who've done shows and because they're not getting something in return. But it's also worthwhile to say that, you know, and we had a caller that expressed this. Maybe not everyone's calling is to do a show and give advice. And sometimes people that are doing shows that are giving advice are doing more harm than good. So you have to be very careful about the advice that is dispensed, because you can lead someone in the wrong direction, and that's not a good thing for the person.
Intentionally, no, it's not a good thing. Someone does it with intent.
No, I mean, even intentionally, though. I mean,
that can be difficult too.
I mean,
we're all susceptible.
That's
But you know, if the intention is good space, because these small people, some of them are really people, and they're trying to get people who live in the temptation happens to the people. If a child is in a crossing in the water or in the desert, or, you know, truck bursts into flames because of an accident.
Yeah, the fate may have been worse, though, in the case that they're escaping. Then, I mean, it could be just as bad. So what's the harm in trying to help people get into a better life situation?
Right. It becomes a Kobe Bryant complains feeling that he had a responsibility to get him over there in Thousand Oaks so he could play on the team, and you know, he didn't want to be faced with a disappointment that they didn't, he didn't follow through and yet made several errors and very unsound calculations about judging the storm or the fog, and he took all these lives. Now, how will he be held accountable? To what degree? You know, it becomes very difficult when the soul is begins to be evaluated in the astral realm under the impression that there was a tragedy or a death that resulted from somebody's action. You know, a doctor who botches up her operation, but that wasn't his intention. A doctor who misdiagnoses something.
Or
it's just not doctors, but,
yeah,
you know, people...
People in the mental health field. I mean, not only doctors, but people that are giving counsel to others. We call them.
Yeah. So it becomes a matter of thought. We do have a caller. We like to take our callers, even in the midst of our discussion. So
I think this caller wants to speak with us. I'm not sure, though, actually, because... The caller did not press one. Did you want to speak with us, or are you just listening? 530.
Just listening. Thank you.
All right. So she doesn't want to talk.
So.
All righty.
You know, but I think that what underlies human existence is that when someone has a good intent, when it comes from their heart that they want to help, there are people who severely want to help others, and no one gets hurt but them. You know, when you look at the karma and you go, why would somebody who has such a pure heart, who is so vulnerable, who only wants to help and give support or love, why do they always get hurt in the end? Again, the rigid standards of karma can be harsh. But if we get past karma and we say, okay, forget about karma, that's where Chris and I like to get involved in saying, well, it doesn't matter if it's karma or not. The process of helping and supporting and advising and being of counsel is, I think, part of the security of reducing karma into something to where someone feels like they've been heard and acknowledged.
We were so interesting that the caller that was just listening. Yes. Okay.
Well, okay.
Anyway,
you know,
you're going to say something. But...
And that's a perfect example of that we move on, you know, even if somebody doesn't care for what we're saying.
No, she may be listening online. I mean, I don't know. So it struck me as funny. Anyway, but it's interesting because, you know, then you get involved in, I mean, the idea of someone's ego getting involved in their mission to help others. I mean, you know, we're all individuals on the planet, and some of us, you know, are teachers, some of us in terms of the service industry, or helping others. Some of us are clergy members. Some of us are counselors. And there's one, you know, there's an area where people don't, I think, acquire enough knowledge to be effective counsel for others. And that can be a karmic situation for the person that is helping others, because they are helping without enough equipment to be able to help effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes people's egos get involved, so they're not able to be a pure vessel of assistance for the person that they're helping.
Well, it's true. I mean, sometimes we as individuals have to beat our own karma and say, how do we get out of our comfort zone and do something that's rather uncomfortable but is of a higher purpose? I mean, people who serve in the armed forces, or people who put their lives on the line, there's got to be some kind of calling for that. It could just, you know, I want to be a fireman, I want to be a policeman, I want to be a soldier. But there's also the idea that what you're going to is of great risk,
And it's not for the idea that, well, I want to be
a sense of adventure. You mean like the sense of adventure?
A
the
sense
only
of
thing
adventure,
that's
like
motivating
a, you know,
them.
A skier or a mountain climber or somebody who just loves to indulge in something of high activation, but it's all for themselves. It's all for the thrill of their lives. Others, it may be a thrill, but they serve to protect. That's what they do. They serve to protect. So their egos can be separated from the general purpose of protecting. And that becomes part of the energy of one's lifetime, to where karma can be reduced because you're deciding to dedicate and devote your life to the service of others under great risk. And this happens. Sometimes it happens spontaneously, even if you don't have a profession. You know, someone who was driving in the freeway and sees a car explode, and they run and pull a person out of a car that's in flames under the risk that they could be burned to death. You know, we have these acts that suddenly spring up in our lives to where we have to make these rash decisions. And certainly there are millions of people who have sacrificed their entire secured life to save somebody else, jumping into the surf or whatever it is.
Oh yeah, I mean, there are plenty of stories that you hear of people being beaten on the street, and passers-by just keep walking.
That
and,
just happened with
you know,
an Asian American woman that was being beaten, and no one, in fact, the bystanders were just calling her, "You don't belong here, go back home," and that kind of stuff. You know, that mob mentality. But then there are those that shelter the persecuted at risk of death or torture if they're discovered. So we have these acts of heroism, or you want to call them, or altruism, being altruistic, where you actually will give your life or sacrifice or risk your life for the safety of others. And I think that is something that some of us come back to do, maybe from a lifetime where they were very totally selfish.
Yeah.
So they've come back to redeem that energy. But it can't be revealed in the birth date. But to go back to your premise, you know, what happens if you die and your code, if you will, is unfulfilled? Our assessment is you come back to fulfill it. You come back to do a job that needs to be done. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you go back to even the history of religion, God sends somebody down to redeem the problems, to fix what's broken. So there's always that idea that we are here on a mission of mercy, and we're here on a mission of redemption and transition. So whether your life is one filled with misery or one filled with pleasure, it's really advisable to take a look at your individual code and your birth date, analyze it. Gradually, hopefully, we're going to be finished with our book and we'll be able to share it with the world. It's still a massive production because we just want to do one book. We don't want to do a series of books. So it's just going to be a big Bible. Huge.
Not to be sacrilegious.
Yeah. But there's so much information. There's so much depth of information that it is really incredible. It's a huge task, because you want to get it right the first time. So,
well, if people got it right the first time, that they wouldn't keep coming back to the planet.
Yeah. And I don't want to come back and do another book. I'm done. But the idea that we're here to accomplish what we are meant to do, which is more than what we would like to do. But what is the meaning of life? It's not what is the likeness, quote, likeness as a noun of life. What is the meaning of life? The meaning of life is to make an impact on the planet and to do it in such a way that you enhance life. and humanity and all living
things. And all living things, aside from humanity. Okay, well, we can close for now.
Okay, good. Well, thank you, our callers, and we'll be back next Friday, I guess.
Not next Friday, this Friday.
This Friday, and that's going to be our 900 show.
900.
900 shows we've done since we started this together. So this will be Chris and I, our show number 900 this coming Friday. It's a lot. You know, I was calculating. It's almost like if you listen to them end to end, it would take 37 days.
That's our weird. That's our master numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We will speak with you on Friday, hopefully, callers. Bye.